When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, just quickly, just changing tack while I get a few more SMSs on that topic. Were you surprised regarding the Jack Higgins verdict yesterday?
A little bit.
Yeah?
A little bit, yeah.
Why?
Well, there was the extenuating circumstances. I say that right?
Yeah, that's
the circumstances around him trying to bring him to the ground. I think the body weight, he's a big man, played a small part in that. But I also had a bit of an issue in the one before with Michael Walters and Tom Barrass the week before, that to me the contact was the same.
Mm.
But one got knocked out or concussed and the other didn't. But the contact was actually the same. But because one gets concussed...
But it didn't look good, did it?
Well, it didn't. And you want to take it out of the game. We want to see that. But... it's getting difficult. It's getting really difficult for the players. I do know that. Where how you approach a contest and how you tackle players now.
So what's more difficult now to inflict in the game of Australian rules football? The bump or the tackle? And that's the question I'm throwing out. You've got to be careful with both in relation to the bump and make sure you don't get someone high, or if someone's dropping towards the ground and you get them high, or the bump. How do you make sure when you're at full tilt you don't sling in any way or shape or form the player to the ground? So if you're playing now, what would be the hardest aspect of the game to master, the bump or the tackle?
The tackle, because nobody's giving you a hard time about bumping. The coach is not saying go out and bump. The coach is going out there and say, tackle, be aggressive. We've got to get them. You've got to attack them with vigour. And you've got to stop them from getting their hands free. So a lot of these players are trying to stop them from standing up in the tackle and actually getting their hands free to keep the ball movement going.
Mm.
And to do that, you've got to bring them to ground. And when you do it at speed and you're talking about body motion going one way, it's very difficult to stop that sort of momentum. So that would be my answer.
So where is the future of the bump that's been synonymous with Australian rules football? Are we going to see it's... die a slow death in the game?
I think we already are. I don't think we're seeing too many of them.
I don't see too many of them.
We're seeing protection bumps.
You see the occasional one more along the boundary line when you see a player come in, a player's trying to get the ball just before it goes out of play and he gets bumped over the line. That's when I see it. I don't see it in midfield play much these days.
I think if you're going to see that one, you're going to see players that really lower their head and their centre of gravity, and they're probably trying to get them around the stomach area because they want to make sure that no contact goes from the shoulder or their head to the other player's head. Outside of that, I think the ones that we've seen, you know, Toby Green and the Peter Wright one, they're just late to the contest protecting yourself bumps, aren't they? Well, I think the next challenge for players in those marking contests is not to brace for contact with a shoulder, but to try and maybe use two hands to push out. Now, it's probably going to mean that they might have some contact to their own chest, but it's going to prevent them from getting suspended through being late to the contest.
It's amazing how much the game is evolving from that point of view. Hayes, Anton from Kubi. Is that Kubalup? Where's Kubi?
Kubalup, yep.
That's what you call it out that way, is it?
What did Anton have to say?
Justin Longmuir referred to outside noise today. Maybe if he had listened to David King and others, the debacle that was the 2023 could have been avoided.
So David King's been really strong on his concerns about the ball movement of Fremantle, and I think he's gone too far, and I do think at times he's playing the man a little bit too much in this scenario, that he's now at that point where he doesn't want Fremantle to prove him wrong. He's had some really strong opinions on that, but, you know, he's not wrong in terms of the style of ball movement at times. I think Fremantle have gears when they want to go, when they're chasing the game.
And we saw that even as early as last Saturday night.
From stoppage, there's no doubt Fremantle are a very good handball team, and many people think that just handballing is a quicker way of ball movement. I personally thought on the weekend there was a shift in the intent from the back half from Fremantle to quickly go and keep the ball moving faster than they had been going.
But the other thing I'll also throw to you, because I thought when you were playing it was a cleaner game, These days, how many handballs go to a player that is in a worse position with opposition players around him than the actual player that's executing the initial handball?
Like the pressure and the intensity of the ball carrier.
But they create that pressure. But they create that pressure with their handballing.
Yeah, but we didn't have the same fitness levels. And you also talk about when you got the ball when I was playing, there was a bit of space. And a lot of the defences shifted back. So they ran back towards goal with flooding. Now they run at the ball carrier. So you get the ball, they sprint towards you, and your time and space is shut down. So you've got a quick decision to make, and that's why we see the overuse of handball. And it's all done now in 90 to 100 metres of the oval, isn't it? Because you've got every player in that part of the ground. When I played, it was different. There was a lot of gaps out there. The wings were always free, not so much anymore. So I think it's more difficult to play, and that's why we see the overuse.
But I reckon the better handball will be, rather than handballing to a player that literally is 2 metres away from you and is clobbered by two or three opposition players, is like Nat Fyfe did a couple of times, handball over the top of the pack and put it in the open space, hoping that a teammate of yours can run onto it.
In an ideal world, absolutely.
That's the way to go.
But when you're about to get the ball and somebody's converging on you, ready to get you, you've got one quick choice to make. Either kick it, or there might be the little handball to the player that's closest to you. And often it's about getting from the inside to the outside. So take two or three on the inside handballs, and then you start to bring in the outside players. And that's been the big trend in recent times. And, you know, if you look at what Geelong are doing right now, they're getting a lot of numbers up into defence, and then they're just running their way back through, whether that be with short kicks or a number of those handballs that you're talking about. But forward handballs, executed right, are killing teams and doing really well. You look at the Giants, their forward handball is off the charts. And Fremantle on the weekend did really well in that area.
Lisa Vallenbrook has texted Hayes. Maybe you can read it just before we take a break.
Peter, Hayes and team, disappointed that Warner has been selecting the team. The younger guys need to be given an opportunity. They are the future. Hayes, disagree with you about Luke Beveridge. They lost Libba just before the game. No Hugo Hagen. Waitman subbed off in the first quarter, and Rory Lobb was a liability. Third quarter, let the Dogs down. 2-7. Could have easily been 7-2. Could have won the game. Eagles should go after Bryn Teagle. He's the best ruckman in the waffle. Agree to disagree on that one too, Lisa. And I think the future will tell us whether you're right or I'm wrong in relation to Luke Beveridge. That's just my opinion. I think he's run his race at the Western Bulldogs, and if they make a decision quickly, they can still save things either this year or maybe next year.
Okay.
Bryn Teagle going very well in the competition, and Bill Monaghan not too far away. He will
so
join
why
us.
Didn't Port Adelaide keep him?
I don't think Bryn's a ruckman.
So what is he? A forward?
He's in between. He's not a gun forward. He's not a goal kicker, and he's not a first choice ruckman. So you're in between.
So that's a disadvantage you had at AFL level, but of course you'd be a real asset in WAFL.
Best ruckman, close to the best ruckman. Well, Scotty Jones, you'd have to say, is the best tap ruckman.
Well, I mentioned that yesterday. I reckon Scotty Jones certainly is the best tap ruckman.
I think Bryn Teagle around the ground is obviously very athletic, but he hasn't been a big goal kicker in his time at East Fremantle before he left, and also at Port Adelaide. And, you know, you talk about Rory Lobb, but at least he, in that position, he's not required to be the main goal kicker. You know, to get 20 goals from your ruck forward is a pretty good season. And that would be the challenge for Bryn Teagle to improve that if he was to get a second chance.
Just quickly, we've got a text here. Let's talk about Alistair Clarkson. If any other coach was 0-7 at this stage, it would be incredible pressure. But in Melbourne, there's nothing to see here. I can't work it out. Is there going to be some priority picks, or is the Melbourne media going to zero in on him?
I agree with that from Carlos. I said
they
this on the
improved,
breakfast show.
They?
No, and not only him, Ross Lyon, there'll be more pressure on him, but I think you've got these guys that are liked in the media, big names over there in Victoria, but there's been coaches at North Melbourne and Stewie Jew prior to that, Noble at North Melbourne, that did just as poorly and they copped it.
Correct.
Because they didn't have the reputation. So I think there are a few people protecting them in the media. And Damien Hardwick, if he doesn't go well this year, the same should apply to him, because Stewie Jew was sacked last year. And this list is better than what Stewie Jew had. Big first hour, Pete.
I enjoyed it.
Big first hour. Plenty more to come after the break. It will be Bill Monaghan.
Text anytime 0487 736 736 right across Western Australia. You're listening to The Run Home with Hayes and Marto.